The New Testament reading continues in the 9th chapter of Acts. Listen now for the word of God. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
You probably don't know this, but there are movies that I really, really, really love. They're called Star Wars, and I swear to you, they relate to my sermon. In episode 1, Anakin Skywalker has just been freed from slavery. He's really excited to become a Jedi. However, he is devastated when he realizes his mother is still a slave. He tells her he's afraid to leave her and venture into the unknown. She replies to him, you can't stop change any more than you can stop the suns from setting. Change is a constant no matter what time period or galaxy you're living in. Change also presents challenges for us, whether we like it or not. Change can cause fear or worry. These feelings are only natural. As human beings, we are resistant to what we don't know. And change is not always a bad thing. It can bring positive outcomes. The world we live in is changing dramatically. It can be scary to step into the unknown, but God is often calling us to do exactly that, so we can grow and discover our calling. Saul received a challenge from God that would change his life significantly. Saul's time was one of incredible change. Christianity was essentially a newborn baby, and new religion disrupted the order of society in Saul's time. Those who practiced Christianity were being persecuted, and Saul played a key role. In our reading for today, Saul is on his way to Damascus to look for more Christians when he received his challenge from God. A bright light blinded Saul, and Jesus spoke to him, asking, "Why do you persecute me?" Then Saul receives his challenge from Jesus. He tells Saul to go into Damascus and await further instructions. It would have been scary enough not knowing what you're supposed to do, but in addition to that cliffhanger, he was also unable to see. Just as there are challenges and changes in Saul's life, there are also challenges and changes in mine. Over the course of the past 2 years, I've grown to dislike change as a result of experiencing a lot of negative change. The past few years have been very hard for my family. Both my grandmothers and then my godfather died. These deaths were painful, and I wanted to start avoiding change. I wanted to build a wall around myself and keep things as they were. But as my mom reminds me, change can bring more than just bad things, but also good. Saul may or may not have had the same encouragement, but he still found the strength to put one foot in front of the other. The men he was traveling with led him by hand into the city. It is in Damascus that Saul has his encounter with Ananias. Saul's 3-day blindness put him in a vulnerable state. He realized he must accept the reality of the world he lived in. Christianity was not going away, and persecuting Christians would not stamp it out. Furthermore, Saul must accept that God has chosen him as the leader of the Christian movement. He might have imagined that he was running away from God's decision, but as a faithful member of the Jewish community, he probably knew the story of Jonah and the big fish. Once God has chosen you to do something, it's hard to run away from it. Ananias is also in a vulnerable state because he is a Christian. He knows who Saul is, but nonetheless, Ananias goes to heal Saul and baptizes him. He begins to spread the message of Jesus of Christianity as Paul. These days we may not get swallowed by a big fish on a boat out to sea, but God still speaks to us in other ways. As a senior in high school, I'm preparing to be in college next year at University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I began to think UMBC was a school for me the moment I set foot on its campus for my humanities scholarship interview. I sat in the auditorium of the Performing Arts Building, somewhat uncomfortable in my suit and tie, surrounded by so many young people who had similar passions for learning that I did. Have the director of my program say to me, "Dever," because most people call me James, "why isn't your name tag on?" made me feel at home. Maybe God was guiding me in my choice of schools, but maybe not in the way you think. I was not blinded by a light, I did not hear a voice without a face. I had a sense of being pulled to stay close to the city I live in to help build its future. While UMBC is in Maryland, college will be a different experience. High school was a change in my life, but I still came home every day to the same house I had lived in for 18 years. Going to college will be difficult because this is my first time truly living on my own without my parents around me. Being on my own will be a new challenge in my life. Like Saul, I'm heading into the unknown. I can't say that I fully understand what will happen or who I will meet, but I'm willing to put one foot in front of the other and experience this next step. I trust that like Saul, I will find a deeper understanding of myself and deeper understanding of my purpose. I'm not the only one dealing with change, especially after the events in April of last year. The city we live in has undergone tremendous change. After April, the city was forced to rethink why the uprising happened. People in this city are eager for many changes in the way things have been done. BUILD is an important part of this movement, along with other organizations like my own school, City Block. Change in this city can be positive or negative, and there are many possible outcomes. The day after the uprising, the city woke up and voluntarily began the slow work of putting the pieces back together. People saw the uprising and are making an effort to understand why it happened. People want to make changes, realizing that the battles in the 1960s didn't necessarily finish the work. Baltimore is still divided, and the process of bridging that divide and breaking it down has already begun. God is calling each and every one of us, as students, members of religious and non-religious communities, organizations, and residents of this amazing city, to step out of our comfort zones and bridge the gap to unite our city. Change can be scary, but it's unavoidable. Even as I continue to grieve the deaths of the people I love, I'm grateful for the life I continue to live. I'm working to embrace change and grow because of it. I believe God will be present in our lives, even if it's not immediately clear. I believe that, like Saul, it's up to us to get on our feet and embrace the change in our lives. You don't have to do it by yourself. People like Ananias will be there to help. God's challenge for each and every one of us is to embrace our differences, embrace the change, and be the people who start to make a difference.
There is an individual in the Yale Facebook group that, at first glance, I did not believe was a real person. I will call him Eli, and he stood out to me because in one of the earliest posts, he shared his music taste, and it was very similar to mine. However, I soon realized that Eli and I were not similar. He began sharing Ted Cruz links to the group, which shocked me, considering that Eli's music taste comprised of some of the most liberal rappers around. I was so surprised that I actually thought that his support might be a joke. But after some minor Facebook stalking, it became clear that Eli, this potential friend of mine, was an unabashed Republican. And to fully explain the significance of this realization, out of all of my friends and acquaintances, I think I can count the number of Republicans I actually know on one hand. And I understand that my perspective is particularly isolated and may not be that relatable to all of you, but I think that everybody isolates themselves, especially when it comes to politics. We unfriend people on Facebook, we listen to NPR and tune out Fox News, we surround ourselves with those of like-minded political opinions. Even at Brown, we like to talk about diversity in terms of race and sexuality, but rarely do we talk about getting a diversity of political opinions. And thus, when I discovered that Eli was a Ted Cruz supporter, I did not know how to react. Here was this figure who could interrupt my carefully constructed bubble of liberalness, and I was afraid. And although this passage seems to focus on Saul's conversion to Paul, I find Ananias' particular struggle very interesting. If I were Ananias from the reading today, I would be freaked out. He is this underground radical Christian that is persecuted on all sides, and Saul has come to his city with the explicit purpose of bringing Ananias and his fellow Christians bound to Jerusalem. Ananias should be laying low, trying to make sure that neither he nor his friends get arrested, but God tells him to do the opposite. God tells Ananias not only to go into the dangerous streets, but to go to the house of Judas, the very place where his enemy is. And I know that Ananias should trust in God, should trust in God's ability to have a plan, but this particular request seems ill-advised. God is asking Ananias to put his life on the line for no clear reason. And I was shocked when Ananias only objected once to God's request. He had no assurance of safety. God simply said that Saul will be the messenger of the Lord, as if that is an assurance that this man will not immediately imprison Ananias upon his arrival to the house of Judas. And if I was Ananias, I wouldn't just be scared for my life, but I might be a little jealous of Saul. Why does Saul get to be the messenger of God? What has he done to earn him the privilege of bringing God's names to Gentiles, kings, and the people of Israel? Ananias and the other apostles have been working hard in the wake of Jesus' death to establish a church, and God kind of shrugs it off and decides to pick somebody else to deliver God's message. Saul seems like he is the last person that God should pick. He has literally gone against God's will at every turn, but God still picks him. And I would like to think that if I received this message from God, I would go to Saul. I would try to convert him, but given the circumstances, I'm not sure if I would. However, Ananias seems to have more patience and courage than me, and he goes to Saul. And although this story is generally labeled as a conversion, for me, it seems more like a conversation. Saul and Ananias both come to the table with something to offer. Saul has seen God for himself and has spent days reflecting on his life, and Ananias has the experience of starting the church and his relationship with the apostles. And not only is it a conversation, but it is an intimate conversation. Saul and Ananias come from these disparate groups and oppositional political opinions, but God makes them get in the same room and has Ananias lay his hands on Saul. Ananias can't comment on one of Saul's Facebook posts. He can't send him a strongly worded email. He has to be close and intimate with this figure that seems like his natural enemy. And the conversation works. Saul becomes Paul. He sits in the temple for 3 days, studying the scriptures, trying to become a Christian. Paul will go on to start the Christian faith, and Ananias doesn't really seem to go anywhere. I like to imagine Ananias receiving one of Paul's letters in the mail and harboring some minor resentment that this man that Ananias reached out to has now become this major figure in the church. But at the same time, I know that Ananias knew that God had a plan. And Ananias put his faith in God's ability to change people against all odds, and everything turned out to be okay. And this is where I become conflicted with this reading, because I know that everything is not always okay. I recently saw a video of individuals going to Trump rallies carrying signs that said free hugs and being met with mace and physical attacks. And obviously, this video overemphasized the cruelty of Trump supporters, but sometimes it can be dangerous to go outside of your comfort zone. Sometimes getting intimate with your enemies can result in physical violence. Ananias was spared, but who knows how many other well-meaning people approached Saul before God intervened and were arrested. As easy as it is to say God has a plan, it seems that sometimes getting out of one's comfort zone is not in God's plan, and an individual is not truly safe. And I don't necessarily feel comfortable telling people to go out and lay their hands on their enemies, because sometimes your enemy will lay hands on you and somebody gets hurt. And thus, I think we should use Ananias as an ideal to aspire to, but not a step-by-step guide to interacting with those of opposing political beliefs. Being intimate, honest, and even trusting in your enemies is amazing, but it is not always feasible. However, I also believe in the inherent goodness of people, and I think, for the most part, trying to live like Ananias will yield more good interactions than harmful ones. And sometimes I wish that in my conversations with those of opposing political opinions, I had the intimacy Ananias does with Saul. Although I did not say anything to Eli directly, I was tempted to point out the contradiction between his music taste and his politics, but in some snarky post, but I held back. That being said, I have not always held back. In the wake of the Baltimore uprising, a girl I knew from Poly made a long post that I strongly disagreed with, and I made my opinions known in paragraph-long comments about how anti-blackness and white supremacy have shaped Baltimore, and in the heat of the moment, it felt good. I felt right. I had my gang of liberal Facebook friends supporting and edging me on, but looking back on it, nothing has changed. This girl still has her beliefs that I still don't agree with. And although we were arguing with each other, neither of us approached it like a conversation. I had approached this particular exchange like a conversion. I thought that my views were correct and she needed to change the error of her ways, and neither of us thought that the other brought anything to the table. We simply wanted to lay out our pre-arranged beliefs against each other and walk away. In fact, the only thing that came out of that debate was the creation of an awkward silence whenever I see this particular individual around Baltimore. And I'm not proud of my actions. In fact, I sometimes wish I could go back and never interact with her in the first place, or maybe hold it off until I saw her in person and try to engage her with the intimacy of Ananias, not hiding behind a computer screen. And so I decided to hold back when it came to Eli. I decided that a snarky comment or a shady post would get me nowhere, and if anything, it would stop the conversation before it even began. I decided that I would wait to meet Eli, to understand his background, and then make a decision about how to approach him. And although I may not be ready to start watching Fox News or attend a Young Republicans meeting, I do hope that through my life, I can strive to be more open-minded, to get outside of my comfort zone, and to understand that everybody has something to bring to the table, and that every meeting of disparate opinions is an opportunity for a conversation and not a conversion.